So it's great to be learning with everybody, and this is a shiur that we wouldn't have naturally given necessarily when we were in yeshiva, but I think it's a worthwhile shiur nonetheless. And this is a shiur that what we're going to do is we're going to try our best to go through Magid and explain the structure and understand where is the ikar part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's really what we want to accomplish during this shiur. And I just want to point out to you, while Magid obviously is the longest part of the Haggadah and the most significant part of the Haggadah, it can fit on 4 pages. That's it. This is all of Magid, the entirety of it. You can finish in 5 minutes, less. It's really not a lot of things to say. The reason why it takes so long is because of Baruch Hashem, the Divrei Torah, and the notion of Chayav Adam, V'kolam Marbe L'Saper is a Meshubach, as we're going to read in the Haggadah, that whoever is going to expound upon the story, then the more the better. Because of that, that's why it takes so much time. But it's very interesting. I think most of our Haggadahs, most of our Siddurim, are spent talking about Divrei Torah, about extraneous things of the Haggadah. And the amount of time we actually spend talking about the Ikar of the Haggadah, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim element, is somewhat limited. That obviously is in the Arami Ovid Avi section, which we're going to get to hopefully in a moment. That we spoke about, was it last year? Eitan, was that when we did it? 2 years ago? Who was there? I don't know. When did we do the long, Arami Ovid Avi section? Anybody remember or no?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Thank you, Morty. Yeah. Excellent. 2 years ago, we went through Arami
Ovid.
What? Okay, whether it was last year or 2 years ago, I don't really remember. We went through Arami Ovid Avi, and we gave Divrei Torah on the drasha itself. But I think it's important to understand the structure prior to the drasha and afterwards, and hopefully that will help us as well. I'm going to try to throw in some Divrei Torah as well on the parts of the Haggadah which are not the Arami Ovid Avi, because those are the parts that people like and are certainly fun. So let's start from the beginning. Okay, Halach Ma'anya, right? The beginning of Magid. Halach Ma'anya di achalu avusan ba'arav de Mitzrayim. This is the poor person's bread that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Kodich min yesiv yechol, koditzach yesiv yevsach. Whoever is hungry can come in and eat. Whoever needs a korban pesach should join the korban pesach. Hashda hacha, now we're here. Lashon haba ba'ar de Yisrael. Next year will be in Eretz Yisrael. Hasha avde lashon haba b'nei chorin. We'll eventually become free people next year. So this is the beginning of the Haggadah. Now a lot of people ask, well, why? Just say Halach Ma'anya. Why is it written in Aramaic? Oh, because the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. So we're speaking, yeah, do we know what I'm talking about? These are Divrei Torah that we've said before at one point in our lives? Possibly. That is a classic, Divrei Torah. But it's a good question. Why do we open up with Halach Ma'anya? Simple understanding why it's Aramaic is because that's what people spoke in the times of the Baal Haggadah, and because that's what they spoke, and you're inviting people in, you want them to understand what you're saying. But what is the purpose of Halach Ma'anya? So we're going to give 3 ideas on this. First idea is very simple. Many of the Mefarshim point out that Halach Ma'anya is there in order to tell us it's something very important. What are we doing? We're inviting people in. What does inviting people in tell you? That tells you that you have what to give to them. Now, why is that an important theme when it comes to the Haggadah? Very simple. Because in the Haggadah, Leil Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're talking about how we used to be avadim, and we're celebrating the freedom, the chayrus that we have. And we understand that the halacha is Masha kana eved kana rabo, that an eved has no possessions to give over. They have no possessions of themselves. Whatever they own, their master owns. And therefore, the fact that we could invite people into our house is an expression of chayrus. It's an expression of freedom, and that's why we have Halach Ma'anya, we're inviting people in. That's one idea, Rambam the Mefarshim say. Another idea, which you can find in the Shibbol Halakhet, he says that if you look at maybe one of the most important elements of the Haggadah, it's unclear, it's a machlokas we've shown him as I'm scrolling down, whether this is important for the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or whether it's important for the mitzvah of Pesach Matzah and Maror, it's a machlokas Rishonim. But if you look over here, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosh Dvar Me'ilu B'Pesach, Lo Yotze Yidei Chovasa Ve'Elohein. Right? That later on in the Haggadah we say that Rabbi Gamliel says that there are 3 things that you need to say, Pesach Matzah and Maror. If you don't say these paragraphs of Pesach Matzah and Maror, you have not fulfilled your obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim or of eating Pesach Matzah and Maror, like I said, Machlokas Rishonim. And what do? We talk about Pesach, why we eat the Korban Pesach, Matzah, why we eat Matzah, Maror, why we eat Maror, all those things are contained in that discussion. Now, says Yeshiva Lekid, as I'm going to scroll all the way back up, what we see from over here is a mini Haggadah. What do you mean a mini Agada? Let's go back to Halach Ma'anya. Like we said, Halach Ma'anya, Diachalu of Sundabar de Mitzrayim. What is it a reference to? Matzah. Right? Obviously, that's clearest. Kodich ven Yesiv Yechal. Who's ever hungry should come in and eat. Shibolaka quotes a pasuk that makes a connection between those who are hungry and maror, being mar, mariras, bitterness. There you have your maror. And then kol dichrit ditzrach yisiv yifsach, whoever needs to eat from the Korban Pesach, should come in and eat from the Korban Pesach. So what do we see from here? Pesach, matzah, maror, the ikar of the Haggadah, the part of the Haggadah that if you don't say, you didn't fulfill your obligation. Not only that, what's the end of nirtzah? So we say, chasal sidr Pesach, kil chasa, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our Korban Pesach. But then afterwards, what do we say? Hashta, l'shara haba b'yushalayim ha-b'niyah. How do we end the Halach Ma'anya? With a similar Lashon Haba b'Arad Yisrael. Hashta avdi Lashon Haba b'nei Chorin. It's a prayer, it's a tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we should become free. And what we see in Halach Ma'anya is actually a mini succinct Haggadah. It's kind of like, I ever go to writing class and the thesis, right, of your paper is what you're, trying to prove, so to speak. Whether, your ending line is supposed to be contained within the opening paragraph, and then you expound upon it. So that's more or less what we have going on in Haggadah. That's what Halach Ma'anya is all about. Okay, excellent. So that is one last idea about Halach Ma'anya, because I think it's relevant, because I was thinking about it actually from this past parsha. This past parsha is Parsha Tzav. There's a lot of discussion about the Mizbeach. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga tells us, I think it's on Chav Zayin Mabez, that Bizman Shebeis Hamikdash Hayakayam, that the Mizbeach was Mechaper on Am Yisrael. Nowadays, now that we don't have a Mizbeach, what's Mechaper on Am Yisrael? Our Shulchan. Our table is Mechaper on Am Yisrael. What does it mean our Shulchan is Mechaper on Am Yisrael? Says the Meiri and Tosos that when we do Hachnasas Orchim, we do Gemilas when we're Gomel Chesed to other people, so that's how we get Kapara. It's a little bit strange. What does one have to do with the other? Like why, because I do Gemilas Chasadim, Hachnasas Orchim, then therefore that's like Kapara similar to that of Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, we offer Korbanos on it. So I think the idea that the Gemara is trying to convey is that when it comes to Korban Pesach, when it comes to Korbanos, the whole idea behind Korbanos is submitting yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding and realizing that the things that you have in your life are a result of Hashem and that you're in a relationship with Him. So if it's a Korban Chatas, you realize that I may have hurt Him, I may have hurt my relationship with Hashem, so I ask for Kapara. When it's a Korban Ola, I may have had a bad thought or I may have missed out on a mitzvah opportunity, two reasons why we give an Ola, many reasons other as well. So maybe I need to bring a Korban Ola to elevate myself, to elevate myself, bring myself closer to Hashem. But also if I have a Korban Toda, what's a Korban Toda? I understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu provided me something good in my life, and therefore what do I want to do? I want to pass that forward, I want to, continue to understand that that's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, that's why it's mechaper at the same point. Why? Because when I invite people into my house, the gemilas chasadim, which I am involved and engaged in, is an understanding and submission that the things which I have in my life are also a result from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I have them in my life. And therefore, what do? I understand that I need to use them for other acts of Avodas Hashem, i.e. gemilas chasadim. It's one of the three pillars that the world stands upon. If I'm able to do that and have that, submit myself to Hashem and realize that that which I have is not, in a Gaivedic sense, but because Hashem provided it for me in order that I could do more Torah mitzvahs with them, so then that is a similar theme. Now, what does it have to do with what I'm talking about? Well, Halachamani is a really interesting thing. What do? We invite people into our house, and then we say, next year we'll be in Yerushalayim Habniya. Like, we'll have the Geula. What does one have to do with the other? It's like a non sequitur, right? It may be true that you want to invite somebody into your house, but then why afterwards is that natural to jump into this tefillah of Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim Habniya? So I think maybe the amkus behind there has to do with like Gemara and Chagiga. That the Gemara is telling you that when we're absent the Beis HaMikdash, if you want to keep that idea alive, what do you need? You need to invite people into your house. You need to do Achnas Zorachim. You need to do Gimelas Chasadim. Because when you do Achnas Zorachim, it's the same theme as having a Mizbeach. And therefore, once I'm keeping that theme alive, then afterwards, and it's natural for me to say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu inviting people into my house, therefore it only makes sense that what could I say afterwards? Then I could say, next year, Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim Habniya. Because I'm keeping alive the idea of what the Mizbeach, Korbanos, and Beis HaMikdash really represent. So I think that's a very interesting and beautiful idea to look at halach madia. Okay, manishtana, ready? I want to point out that we have not started whatsoever the Haggadah itself, right? Meaning we're not there yet. So Manashana, we know, is the central part of the Haggadah. Well, it's not really central, but it's the most famous part. And that is when we have all the children asking the Manashana. And if we look at the Manashana, there are obviously four questions. There's Chami Tumatza, Shayirakos, Matbilim Pamachas versus Shtei Pa'amim, Yoshvin versus Mesubim. And the Mefarshim point out that Manashana is really one question. That's just broken up into four different parts. What's the one question? Is this a night that we're commemorating slavery, or is it a night that we're celebrating freedom? That's really the whole Manashana. Why? How do we see that? Chameitu Matzah. Chameitu is halach ma'anya, like we just said. Sha'ar Yirakos. What is that? That is, and as opposed to eating just maror, that's obviously avdos. And then, on the other hand, we have the fcheiros of what? That we're dipping, that we're mesubin. So the child of this junction, the Haggadah, is confused. It's Yontif. We just had Kiddush. We're in these special clothing. My father has a kittel on like it's Yom Kippur. So it's a really special day. And then we say halach ma'anya. Here's like poor people bread. So like the Ben is confused. What is this day? To commemorate the slavery or to celebrate the freedom? And that's really what Manashana is all about. That leads us to the next paragraph. What is Avadim Ayinu doing? Not just so that we could sing it, but because that is the answer to the Manashana. Avadim Ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. The answer is that yes, it's true. We used to be Avadim lefaro b'mitzrayim. V'yotzeinu Hashem b'mitzrayim misham b'yad chazaka u'bizro netuya. Then Hashem took us out. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and therefore the answer to the Ben is yes. It's both. It's both a representation or a commemoration of the slavery. And that's why we have the first two, matzah and maror. At the same time, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out, therefore we celebrate, and that's why we are leaning, and that's why we're dipping. And then it goes on, V'ilu otzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as avasini mitzrayim, arei anu v'aneinu v'nei v'aneinu, mishubadim ha'inu l'varu mitzrayim. Then the paragraph gets even more relevant, that if it wasn't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and had such chesed on us, we'd still be there now. And therefore, don't think that this is something which is irrelevant, bizman hazeh. But it's something which is very relevant, and that's why we still need to engage in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. V'afilu klonu chachamim, klonu nevonim, and even if we may be these great talmid chachamim, klonu zikenim, klonu yodim esat Torah, even if you know the entire Torah, mitzvah aleinu l'sapir Yitzis Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, you're not exempt from the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, v'igat levincha. The more you say over, the better it is, the more Meshuvach it is. So that's the paragraph of Avadim Ayinu. Three parts. Part one, answering the Ben of the Manashana, the answer to the Manashana. The answer is yes, both slavery and freedom. Afterwards, we talk about how relevant it is to our lives. That is V'ilu Lo Hutzi, Hutzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Avaseinu, etc. And then afterwards, what do we have? That we're obligated, no matter what level of being a Talmid Chacham that we may be. Now this brings us, now the reason why we say that line is because it helps us understand the next paragraph. What's the next paragraph? Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Nazariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. We have these five great Tanayim, Shayushua, Mesubim, and Abrach. They were saying in Abrach. And they were involved in the Tisbury Tis Tribe. Acha, both Tamidayim, Va'amru Lahem, Rabbi Seinu, Igiazman, Kriya Shemashal Shachares. That, the time has come for Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. Now, why is this paragraph here? Now, a lot of people ask, what were they doing in Bnei Brak? How come they didn't realize that it was time for Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis? Oh, they were in the cave. They must have been hiding from the Romans. They'll ask, how could it be that, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, how could it be that he was involved in Tzipor? Sorry, Rabbi Elazar, how could he be saying Tzipor Yitzis Mitzrayim post Chatzos? Doesn't he hold that the Korban Pesach is pasul Chatzos, and that's why you have to eat the Avikom before then? Like, they'll ask all these questions, but what is he doing in the Haggadah Bechal? And the answer is very simple. What was the last line of Adim Ayinu? Even if you were these great Talmid Chachamim, you were these Tanayim and Amoraim, you knew everything. Nevertheless, what did they do? Mitzvah Elena Lesapir Betis Mitzrayim Kolos Alayla. And Kolom Arba Lesapir Harezim Meshubach. And you know what a proof is? You know what a rye is? Maisa Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The raya to the last time of Avadim Ayinu is this Maisa, and that's what it's doing in the Haggadah. So once again, no Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim yet, Bichlal, but what do we have? We definitely have a We definitely have a proof to that which is saying before and a lot of introductory remarks. Okay, great. Next paragraph. Amar Elazar ben Azariah. Comes along Elazar ben Azariah. What does he say? Hare ani kiven shivim shana velozachisi shetomar yitzis mitzrayim balai los ad shadarsh ben zoma. So he says, I'm like 70 years old and I wasn't able to say zecher yitzis mitzrayim until ben zoma came along. Shenemar lamantisko yitzim titzcha meret mitzrayim. There's a drasha. It says in the pasuk, "Kol yimei chayecha." You have to remember Sipur Yitzis. Sorry, you have to remember Yitzis Mitzrayim. Yimei chayecha tells me hayamim, the days. Kol yimei chayecha, the added kol tells me even the nights. And the chachamim argue of chachamim yimei chayecha olam haza. Kol yimei chayecha olavi l'mosav mashiach. No, the split, the extra kol is not for nights and days. Rather, it's for yimosav mashiach. It's for lasad level. There's a lot to discuss about this line in the Haggadah, quoted from the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. But and a lot of people talk about, let's say, why does it say that Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana? Why he's only like 70 years old? Oh, because he was really 18 years old, and he was appointed the head, and then people weren't going to believe him, so his beard turned, you know, gray overnight, so people would give him more respect. V'chulei. And they'll talk about why doesn't the Rambam, if you're like a little bit more brisker, you'll, you know, the Reb Chaim about why doesn't the Rambam count the mitzvah of Zecher Yitzis Mitzrayim and part of the Taryag Mitzvos? Right, and you'll get into the machlokas between Ben Zoma and whatever. The Rav has a piece in Shirim Zecher Avi Mori on this. There's a lot to talk about, but what is it doing in the Haggadah Bechla? The answer is, well, there's two real answers given by the Mefarshim. Answer number one is, it's tangential. We have a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. A parallel mitzvah is Zecher Yitzis Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's why we're mentioning it. However, others point out that, no, who is at this party of Haggadah with all these great Talmidei Chachamim? Elazar ben Azariah. So it could be that what were they discussing that night? They weren't just discussing Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. They were also discussing the halachos of Zecher Yitzis Mitzrayim. And therefore, this was part of what they were darshaning that night in Bnei Brak. That this whole idea of Elazar ben Azariah, him telling over the mitzvah of Zecher Yitzis Mitzrayim, both at day and at night. How we're bekayim it through the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Beseder? Great. Awesome. If I'm going too fast or if something's not understandable, certainly please let me know and I'll slow down or I'll answer it. Okay. Remind me if we have time at the end. We'll say over a nice of our Torah about that idea about how could Rabbi Elazar be there past Chatzos. What was he doing? If it seems to be that he held that you can't continue saying the mitzvah past Chatzos. But okay, we'll get to that a little bit later. Okay, Baruch HaMakom Barucho. Baruch Shanasan Torah Lama Yisrael Barucho. Okay, so we have the Baruch HaMakom, obviously a part of the Haggadah people like singing, an important part of the Haggadah. What is Baruch HaMakom there? So many of them first should point out that Baruch HaMakom parallels, anybody know? Baruch HaSa Torah. Do you see that? What do we see? Baruch Shanasan Torah Lama Yisrael. It sounds like a Baruch HaSa Torah. Baruch HaMakom, what's HaMakom? Makom is a reference to one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If one unfortunately had to pay somebody to visit or had this chus to do nicham aveilim, which is one of the greatest mitzvahs one can do. So, what does it say? We say, Hamakom yinachem eschem besoch shar avlei tu in Yishlayim. Hamakom is the name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Baruch Hamakom is basically saying, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah Lamo Yisrael. Now, why are we saying Baruch HaSa Torah now? So, many of the Mepharshim point out, because we're about to engage in a unique type of Talmud Torah. What type of Talmud Torah? We're going to engage in the Talmud Torah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. We already pointed out in the past that the Iker of the Tzelumad and Rami Ovid Avi, the special drasha which we're scrolling down to right now, that we are able to fill our mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, that is to the drasha of Rami Ovid Avi, and that's a unique Talmud Torah opportunity. And because it's a unique Talmud Torah opportunity, say many of them are Farshim, therefore we have a unique Berach HaSat Torah in order to correspond to the unique Talmud Torah opportunity. Agav, that may also be, at least according to some of the Farshim, not mistaken, Rav Chaim says this, that the, one of the differences between Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim is this fact. The difference between whether it's a Talmud Torah action versus just a referencing of the mitzvah. Sipur is an engagement in Talmud Torah. Zechira is not about that. Zechira is about just referencing and remembering something. Okay. Then the only question is why to say Hamakom, Baruch Hamakom, Baruch Hu. Why specifically Hamakom? So we're going to get to that in a moment. But what do we have to do afterwards? We have to get up to the Arba Banim. We have the Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad She'ino Dei Lishol. And this is obviously a very famous part of the Gada. There's a lot to speak about, such as like the Chacham. What is the answer to the Chacham? In Maftir Nachar Pesach Apikomen. What exactly are we telling him? What is the it's a cryptic answer to the Chacham. The Rasha and the Chacham seem to have the same similar question. So why are we knocking the Rasha's teeth out? Are we really knocking the Rasha's teeth out? Is that good chinuch? The Torah gives a different answer to the Rasha's question in the Torah itself. Why don't we give that answer to the Torah to the Rasha? Then we have the Tam and the Shein Dei Lishol. Okay, so there's a lot to speak about when it comes to these things. But the basic yesod that seems clear is that the idea of having a Chacham Rasha and Tam and Shein Dei Lishol is understanding that there, when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, chanuch lenar al pidarko, that you're going to have different people surrounding your Seder. And the Seder is not just about your mitzvah of Sipri Tzitzrayim, but you know, Bezos Hashem, when you have children, the Iker mitzvah is Vigad Levincha, that is about your ability to pass on that Mesorah to your child, and now it's your father's opportunity to pass that Mesorah on to you. And therefore, that's why we have this heavy focus on these children at this Seder. And also, we give specifically catered answers to each of these individuals, each of these different types of children that we have at our Seder. You have the Chacham, and you get through all the nitty-gritty halachos, you know, and you tell him everything. You have the Rasha that maybe needs a bit of Musar in order to bring him closer. You have the Tam, who you need to speak to him on his level, and the Shein Dei Lishol, to get him interested, get him starting to ask about the story itself. So that is why we have the Arba Banim. Now, why Baruch HaMakom? What's the significance behind that? So I always thought that the idea behind Baruch HaMakom is that, considering the fact that we have different children with different strengths, different abilities, that we want to demonstrate that everybody has a makom at the Seder. Everybody has a place at the Seder. Everybody has the opportunity to come around the table. Their Talmud Torah and the, you know, being an Eved Hashem and the whole idea behind the Chag HaPesach is not something which is only reserved for a Chacham. And it's not just Musar for a Rasha. And it's not something which is, you know, simplified or dumbed down for the Tam. And it's not something which you need to, you know, excite for the Shein Dei Lishol. But it's something which is universal for everybody. It's something which, you know, very much comes to mind when we're thinking about the unique ability of Talmud Torah in general, that we've all been basically learning Chumash and Rashi, you know, for Shai Mikravecha Targum for, you know, God knows how long. And that means that we learned it, and probably, you know, the Vilna Gaon also learned it. And, you know, I don't know, Chasam Sofer, V'chulei, going back all the way till the time of Rashi. And before Rashi, so we're all learning the same Chumash. It's pretty amazing, the universal elements that Talmud Torah has, and that Avodas Hashem has, that there's Baruch HaMakom, that there's a place for every single person when it comes to the table. That we shouldn't think, Chas V'Shalom, that these elements of Judaism or Torah are only reserved for the elite or for the Rishayim, but there's something for everybody to gain and to grow from. So I think that's a nice idea behind Baruch HaMakom. Okay, Yachlo Mirosh Kodesh. Now, okay, we're still introductory remarks. We haven't gotten to the mitzvah of Sipri Tzitzrayim yet. Yachlo Mirosh Kodesh. So okay, now we want to start the discussion. We said the Berachas HaTorah. So when should we do it? And why are we doing it tonight? Because of this drasha. Yachlo Mirosh Kodesh. Shalom Lomer Bayomo. I may think that I should do Sipri Tzitzrayim from Rosh Kodesh. Why would I think such a thing? Because Moshe Rabbeinu darshened the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh when? On Rosh Chodesh itself. And what did they receive on that day? Also, right in Parashat Chodesh, HaChodesh Lelechem, Rosh Chodeshem, Rishonim Lelechem, Lechodshei Hashana, and then after you have the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So I might think that, you know, that's when I should engage in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. Therefore, we say, Vayomahu, it needs to be on that day. Ibayomahu, Yachom Yom Yom. Maybe I should think that it's not just from the night of the 15th, but it should be earlier on the 14th, meaning the day when I offer the Korban Pesach. Tam lomar ba'avor zeh, because of this. What does that mean? Ba'avor zeh lo amarti ela b'shashish matza umaru amaru munachim lefanecha. When do I tell over the mitzvah Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim? Only when I have matza umaru munachim lefanecha. Only when I have those elements before me. Now, why is that so important to have these elements in front of me? So that goes a little bit back to what Rabbi Lazar said before, right? Rav Gamliel, that whoever doesn't say these three things, Whoever doesn't say these three things, lo yatza yidei chovaso, one has not fulfilled their obligation. And because of such a thing, therefore the matzah and the maror are something which is very central and significant when it comes to our mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? So it's very clear, but we're going to get to this in a moment, and we'll talk about this in a more significant way. But we understand that, what's the mitzvah? Chayv Adam Liros Etz Atzma Kili Yatzim Mitzrayim. We all know the famous Lashon and Girsa Rambam. Chayv Adam Laharos Etz Atzma Kili Yatzim Mitzrayim. What's the difference, or what we're trying to accomplish? Leil HaSeder is not just about remembering what happened in the past, but it's about psychologically and emotionally experiencing that fateful night, which happened so long ago, as if we went through it right here and right now. And the way that we do that is specifically by using props, by having the matzah, the maror in front of us, having the Karban Pesach. Because when we eat the same bread that our ancestors ate, when we taste the maror and try to connect to the meriros, and we have the Karban Pesach, that was their heroic act of, you know, Acha Yishchetu Eloheim Leineim, until we go through that, that's really what brings alive the story. And that's why you're only able to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipor Yitzis Mitzrayim when you have matzah umaru munachal lepanecha. They're not tangentially connected. It's not like I have three different mitzvahs tonight of like Pesach, Matzah, Maror, and then also Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but they're all integrated because they all feed off of each other. Another just very quick idea about this, not an idea, but something you should be aware of. On Shabbos Haggadah, the Rama brings down a minhag for you to go over the Haggadah. The Gra says that one should not go over the Haggadah. Why shouldn't you go over the Haggadah? He thinks that there's an Isser or a problem based off of this Drasha. Because the Drasha says, when do you say the Haggadah? Specifically, when you have matzu maru munach lefanecha. If you don't have matzu maru lefanecha, so you shouldn't say over the Haggadah. Okay, the simple understanding of the Medrash is that's when you can fulfill your obligation. But the Gra actually thinks that that's the only time that you should actually engage in it. Okay, so machlokes between the Gra and the Rama, something to be aware of. Okay, mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Now we're getting in to a little bit more of the story, and we're almost there. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. So it used to be that our ancestors were ovdei avodah zarah. But actually, kivinu amakom avodaso. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to his avodah. Shene amar, like we quote from Yoshua. Vayomer Yeshua kol ha'am kol amar Hashem okay Yisrael. Be'ever Hanar Yeshua Vaseicha Me'olam Terach Avi Avram Avi Nachor V'Yavdu Elohim Achirim. Okay, we talk about the not so flattering past of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, that we had Terach who was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah, as was Avram Avinu, right? Until Avram Avinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ekach as Avicham as Avram Me'ever Hanar V'Olech Oso B'chol Eretz Kanan. And then I took Avram Avinu and he had his Lech Lecha moment. Varba as Zaro, Vetin Lo as Yitzchak, they give Yitzchak, Vetin Yitzchak as Yaakov, as Esav, Vetin Le Esav as Harseir, Loresh as Osav, Yaakov, Vanav Yardu Mitzrayim. And then Yaakov and his sons went down to Mitzrayim. Now, what is it doing in the Haggadah? So, with something which we, I think, are aware of, but we didn't reference yet, there is a machlokas in the Gemara about a certain obligation. Now, what is the obligation? First, that nobody argues about, it's an obligation, Maschel B'Ginai, Messiah B'Shvach. That when it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it is integral that you start off with the negative elements and then you end with the positive elements. Okay? And it's machlokas in Rav and Shmuel, what is the Maschel B'Ginai Messiah B'Shvach? Either it is, according to some, the obligation Maschel B'Ginai Messiah B'Shvach is that the Ginai that we start with is that it used to be that we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And the Shvach that we end with is that we became Ovdei Hashem. According to others, the Gnai that we start with is that we used to be slaves to Paro, and then we became free people when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So what is the answer? How do we paskin? The answer is that we paskin like both. You see, we have, in over here we have, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu is the Maschil Minayim Messiah Mishvach of that we used to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took made us close, you know, Kibbeinu HaMakom Avodaso, then we came Ovdei Hashem. And then we start off the third paragraph of Magid is Avadim Ayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim. We used to be Avadim, and then Hashem took us out. So we have both elements of Maschil Minayim Messiah Mishvach. Now, what is the idea behind this idea of Maschil Minayim Messiah Mishvach and the Machlokas? Well, the idea seems to be about knowing how to contrast the positive elements with the negative elements. It is much more powerful to appreciate the good things in your life when you contrast them with the negative things. I have no doubt that in Mirat Hashem, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes this machla of Corona, Mirat Hashem Karafayin, that all of us will appreciate the simple things in life that we became so accustomed to in a much more significant and real way. The ability to go to yeshiva or to college or to shul or to hang out with friends, to go out to, you know, to restaurants, to go over to different places. I'm sure we're going to have a much deeper appreciation for that right now after it was taken away from us. So too, if we want to appreciate the freedoms that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, we need to also contrast it when we didn't have that. But it's interesting, we have the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about whether it's the physical or the spiritual elements that we're looking to celebrate / commemorate. So it seems to be that both those things are worthwhile thinking of the Ribono Shel Olam for. Number one, we have to thank them for the physical salvation that we experienced. We have to understand that the physical salvation that we have, that's also worthwhile thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's also not good enough. Because if we look, certainly the Sefer HaChinuch says this quite explicitly, that the end of the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has nothing to do with leaving Mitzrayim, but is about 7 weeks later when we receive the Torah, when we become Ovdei Hashem. And therefore we cannot ignore or forget that element either. We need to focus on that spiritual journey that the Jewish people took as well. And that's why we have both elements of Avadim Hayinu and Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avaseinu, and the positive elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Mitzrayim and V'achshav Kirvenu Hamakom L'Avadaso. So that's Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay. Baruch Shomer Avtachaso LiYisrael. Okay. So what is Baruch Shomer Avtachaso LiYisrael? Baruch Hu. Shakarish Baruch Hu Chishev is like Kate Lassos, Kimo, Shinemar, La Avram, Avino, Paris, Mina Masarim, Shinemar, Bayomer, La Abraham, Yodea, Tedaki, Gerye, Zaracha, Bert, La Lahem, Avdumino, Asam, Arbam, Yoshana, Vagam, Esagai, Asher Yavdu, Don, Anochi, Bachrachin, Yetzi, Ruchush Gadol. So we thank Akash Baruch Hu for keeping his promise to Avram, Avino, that we left, you know, quite wealthy from Mitzrayim. We were able to empty them out. And it's also an understanding of like the whole process of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're about to engage in was really foretold by Bris Mina Masarim by Avraham Avinu, and this was something which was all part of the divine plan in the first place. V'yisha Amda L'Avaseinu V'Lanu Shelo Echad B'Levad Amar Aleinu L'Chalaseinu Ela Shebchol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chalaseinu V'Akadosh Baruch Hu Matzi Aleinu Miyadam. This, I think, according to many of the Mefarshim, is actually a later addition to the Haggadah that wasn't in the initial text of the Haggadah. But what's the purpose behind it? I think that what the Baal Haggadah is trying to tell us is that the fact that we are celebrating the Savior of the Jewish people, which happened so long ago in Mitzrayim, that shouldn't detract or take away from the fact and the understanding that these are things which happen every single generation. That while, you know, it used to be Paro, and then it, you know, then maybe it became Haman and Antiochus, and then going down to Chmelnytsky. To before that, we'll have the you know, the Crusades, and then going down to Hitler. There've been so many enemies of the Jewish people, and Baruch Hashem, in every single situation, even when the Jews were on the brink of destruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there to save them. And therefore, this story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is really just a paradigm for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation and Yeshua that He provides to the Jewish people on a consistent and constant basis. Okay. Say Loman, my Bikish love and Arami Lasos Liakov Avinu. Let's see what Lovin wanted to do. Shaparo Lugazar Ela Zacharim, Lovin Bikish Lakor Sakol. Lovin was even worse because he wanted to destroy everything. Shinemar. And now this brings us to the Arami Ovidavi section of the Haggadah. I imagine we're not doing this, right? We're not going through the Arami Ovidavi. Unless anybody's, you know, super interested, but I think we kind of exhausted that in previous years. And certainly you could take a look at those Shirim, if you so desire. Okay, so we're gonna skip that for now, unless anybody has any real objections and they want me to go through some of them. Okay, no objections. Great, let's go forward. Okay, so what do we got? Now this brings us to, we understand how the Arami Ovidavi works. Let's just speak about how it works very, very quickly, okay? We won't say the very Torah, but just so we're aware. Rami Ovidavi works just like a... 1 second. What is that? Okay. The way that it works, just so we can understand, is these are drashas, they're psukim, which are quoted from Parshas Kisavo, okay, by Mikra Bikurim. The way that each of them works, you'll see that there's a bold, right? The bold is a pasuk. This is a full pasuk from Mikra Bikurim. And after the pasuk of Mikra Bikurim, the way that it works is, like any Gemara, right, or like any medrash that you've ever read, is that there's a pirush on each line. So the first, here's the first pasuk, and then afterwards that we see by Yerid Mitzrayma, right? So we'll highlight that. And then we have afterwards a quote by Yerid Mitzrayma. Yes, we see that. So that's a pirush on Yerid Mitzrayma. Okay, the Medrash is expounding and explaining exactly what that is, and then so on and so forth. Vayargasham is the next line in the pasuk. That's also the next line in the drasha, and that's all explanations of what exactly is going on in the Arami Ovid section of the Haggadah. Let's see, where are we? That more or less brings us to the end of the Haggadah. I mean, that brings us to the end of the Arami Ovid Abi drasha. It gets a little bit confusing when you get to Vayotzienu, because there's a drasha within a drasha. You could see that as well, because you know the bold really corresponds to the pasuk, and then you'll see another different type of bold inside the pasuk. And they're going to darshan that, then they'll return to the original pasuk. If you know what I'm talking about, good. If not, you'll see inside your Haggadah, it makes a little bit more sense. That brings us to the end of the Makos, and this is where we talk about all the Makos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on the Jewish people, saved the Jewish people with when it came to Mitzrayim. Okay. Great. That brings us to Elu Eser Makos, Shev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El Mitzrayim, B'Mitzrayim, B'Elohim. We talk about them, Dam, Tzardei, Kinim, Arav, Devar Shechin, Barad Arba Choshek Makas Pechoros, the minhag of spilling out some wine, either with your pinky or with your cup itself. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda, Yanosim Bem Simanim, the Tzach Adash Ba'achav. There's certainly what to talk about that, which we're not going to have time right now. If you want to look at the Ralbag, the page of the Ralbag in Shemos, that he actually points out how they're parallel to each other. So the first one, the Dam of the Tzach, is parallel to the Ayin, so the Arov of Adash. There's something what to think about and see if you can link those things up, see why he grouped them in that way. Then we have a bunch of other drushas, also they may be later drushas, but they're also found in some of the Midrashim, about all the different types of makos that the Mitzrayim experience. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Kiva. And they're certainly worth, if you have a Haggadah with a Perish, a proper Perish, then maybe they could go through it and explain exactly how they darshan these phantom mystery makos that are not found in the text or the psukim themselves, but they're able to darshan. And that finally brings us to Kama Malas Tovus L'Makom Aleinu. So we basically went through the Sipri Yitzus to Tzitzrayim, and therefore we go, Ilu Hotzeinu Mitzrayim, V'losad Behem Shvatim, Dayenu. We go through the Dayenu. What is the Dayenu all about? So Dayenu goes through all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for the Jewish people, and we list them, and we're explicit about them, and we talk about the particulars and the specifics. And the reason we do so is because, as it's so clear, because each one of them is worthy enough to give a dayenu on, right? Meaning, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and didn't, you know, judge them, so that would have been good enough for us to say, you know, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the interesting thing is that we know that God didn't just do that, so why are we focusing on that? I mean, that's the next paragraph. Halachas kam v'kama, v'kal v'chomer, tov v'kvul v'mchubas l'makom aleinu, shutzinu Mitzrayim, took us out of Mitzrayim, v'azbem shifatim, etc., etc. So why exactly are we going through the Dayenu? So I think that just a simple idea is that if a person wants to thank anybody, it's a good use of it for life when it comes to being a guest at somebody's house, eating a meal by somebody, thanking somebody for you'll be dating soon, Mir Tashem, or maybe not so soon, depending. I'm looking at right now on my screen are only alumni, so you guys will be dating soon, but or already dating. For the yeshiva guys, and you know, be'ito u'bizmano. A good thing to be aware of, or you know, forget about that, when you're with your mother and she made you a good meal, it's generic to say everything was delicious, everything was great. But it's much more meaningful and specific when you can point to a specific. You know, like the cholent was really fantastic. It was so good. You know, I really liked that flavor. Oh, like this is my favorite type of chicken. The deli roll was fantastic. This is really amazing. You know, when you point at specifics, it's much more meaningful as opposed to the generic. Everything was great. Everybody knows everything was great. But if you go over to somebody and say, you know, well, you listen to a shiur and say, well, that Devar Torah that you quoted from the Ibn Ezra was amazing, you know, is much more meaningful than that was a great shiur. Because then it's pointing to something specific. It's a good tool for commenting in general. Yes, Morty, what's up?
Yes, sir. What was the question again on this, on Dayenu?
No, the only question is if in the end they God did all these things for us, so then why are we listing them specifically? Meaning why focus on the specifics as when we know at the end of the day he did all these things? So it could be that we point out the specifics and say that they'd be good enough also to show a more serious type of akar satov. So okay, that's alachas kama. That brings us to Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Kol shelo amar shloshet dvarim elu v'pesach lo yatsa yidei chavasa ve'ilhein pesach matzah v'maror. So that we have the discussion of the pesach, the matzah, and the maror. Should we speak about matzah very quickly? Just a nice, beautiful dvar Torah matzah. I think I shared this with you at one point or another. I may have, maybe I didn't. I don't remember. If I didn't, if I did, then I apologize. If I, but nevertheless, it's worth chazara. What do we say? Matzah zusha ashanu ochem. We'll skip the matzah. Okay, Pesach we know because that was the Karban Pesach. But why do we eat the matzah? Shumash shalo speak b'tekem shal avaseinu lahachmet at shalo at shenigo aleihem melech malchayim lachem Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody knows we eat matzah because we left the chipazo and there was no time. Shenemar ve'afu as a batzeik as shewutzim mitzrayim al matzos kilo lochamet kigirshim mitzrayim v'lo yachol esmameya. There was no time. They didn't have enough time for any of these things. And therefore, because we left in such a hurry, so there was no time to let it rise, and that's why we eat matzah. The only problem to that is, anybody know? It's not true. There was plenty of time. We knew exactly when we were leaving. How do we know? Well, we knew when we were leaving, but even more than that, we knew well in advance about matzah. How do I know we knew about advance about matzah? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the tzivoy to Am Yisrael about Korban Pesach, when was that? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And what does it say over there? Al matzos umorim yochluhu. What do you have to do? You got to eat matzah. You got to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah maror. So we knew about matzah when? 2 weeks prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is the Haggadah talking about? Why does every single, you know, young child coming back from Gan know that we ate matzah, there was no time? But it's not true. You read the Chumash, we knew well in advance that you have to eat matzah. So what exactly is Haggadah talking about? Why do we eat matzah in that sense? So there's a Medrash that was pointed out to me. It's quoted in the Targum Yonasan. Targum Yonasan. It was quoted to me. I heard it from Rav Ari Khan Shlita, one of our, you know, esteemed, prestigious Magide Chumashir in Shalvim. And it's a fantastic Medrash, because the Medrash explains, and I have it for you if you're interested, the Medrash explains that Allah HaSeder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took Am Yisrael on Kanfei Nisharim to the Beis HaMikdash. They offered their Korban Pesach, and then he took him back to Mitzrayim, and then they did the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim thing. That's what the Medrash does. It's a very bizarre Medrash. Like, is it really true? They really got on the backs of, you know, on the Kanfei Nisharim, on the wings of eagles, went to the Makom Mikdash that was, they didn't even know where it was. Like, David had to find it. You know what I'm talking about, right? And there was no Beis Mikdash there, and they offered Korban Pesach. Why didn't they just stay there? I don't know. That's a good place to, you know, spend Pesach and not have to go back to Mitzrayim and wander for 40 years in the Midbar. So, did that really happen? And the answer is, probably not. It didn't really happen. So then what is the Medrash coming to tell us? So it seems that the Medrash, the whole part of the Medrash is, that while physically we may have still been in Mitzrayim, spiritually, psychologically, we were already on Kanfei Nisharim by the Makom HaMikdash. That's where we were. That was our perspective. Like, that is where we felt psychologically, emotionally. And that's what true freedom is all about. True freedom is not just the ability to physically be free, but it's also about your psychological standpoint. It's your psychological perspective. That understanding that you have control over certain things. I think this is similar. You can tell me if I'm wrong. To Viktor Frankl's logos theory in psychology, right? The man's search for meaning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, if you know what I'm talking about, good. If not, not. If you don't know, then you can't correct me, which is good. So similar to that, you know, finding search for meaning, having control over certain things, your psychological awareness of where you at, that can make or break whether you are considered an Eved or a Ben Chorin. And therefore, while it's true physically they were still in Mitzrayim, psychologically where were they? They were Abakanf in the Sharim, they were in the Makom HaMikdash, they were by the Beis HaMikdash, they were offering the Karban Pesach in, you know, Yushalayim HaBnuya. And therefore, why do we eat matzah? It's true that they knew in advance, and it's true that there was time, but the reason why we eat matzah was because psychologically there was no time. We were already out. Like the gula happened so quickly, psychologically, we were already somewhere else. And therefore, in order to get us in that mental state, in order to have that emotional and psychological feeling of we're no longer here, we eat matzah, which signifies that there's no time to be here anymore. We're already in a different place. We're already free. We're already, you know, headed towards Eretz Yisrael, like that beautiful medrash connotes towards us. And perhaps that's exactly why we eat matzah. Perhaps that's the reason why we eat matzah, even though we say the reason why is because there was not enough time. But I mean, there was enough time. No, but psychologically, there was not enough time. Emotionally, there was not enough time because we were already somewhere else. We were already being free. We no longer could tolerate staying in Mitzrayim no longer. We already been Echorim. And this finally brings us to the last part of the Haggadah, the Bechol Dor V'Dor. Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam L'Rios Tzatziki Liyatim Mitzrayim, which hopefully we were able to fulfill through the Seiluma, through the Rami Ovidavi, through the Pesach Matzah Maror, bringing the stuff alive, pointing to it. Shenemar Bigad of the Mincha Bayamahu, Leimor Bavarzeh Asali, Asashemli B'Tetz Mitzrayim, Loes Avosenu, Bilvad Gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wasn't just our forefathers, Ela Afosanu Gal Yimahem. We were also redeemed with them, Shenemar, Fosanu Tzi Misham, Hashem took us out, Lamani Vi, Hevi Osanu Lasislanu as Eretz Asher Nishba Avosenu, that eventually brings us to Eretz Yisrael. Because we went through the Chayvan Laharas, as Asakurish Tzayim, how do we end Hagid, Magid? What do we end Magid with? Hallel. Right, the end of Magid is Hallel. See, Hallel of the Avdei Hashem, etc. Petitio Mitzrayim. And we have the bracha of Asher Galanu. So why do we end with Hallel? The reason why we're ending Hallel, the Briskerov points out, because if a person just went through Chayiv Adam Laharas Atzav Kiliyatsu Mitzrayim, so then what? Then we understand the next paragraph that I just, which I didn't read yet, which is Lefikach. That if I just feel that I just went through Mitzrayim, like matzah, right? Meaning the whole idea of matzah was Am Yisrael felt psychologically they were already free, no time to let the dough rise, so to speak. So too, right here, right now, we may be in Galus. We may not have the Makom HaMikdash. We may not have the Beis HaMikdash. We can't offer Korban Pesach yet. But what? We feel as if we're already there. And therefore, beautiful idea, Lefikach Anachnu Chayavim Lahodos, because I just went through that, I have an obligation to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the same way that Am Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, what did they do? They did Shiras Hayam. There was a Hallel there. So too, we also need to engage in a Hallel. And that's why we end with a Hallel. We end with Hallel because we just accomplished, hopefully, Chayiv Adam Aharas Atzma Kili Yatsim Mitzrayim. And if we're able to do so, then it's only natural that we burst out into Hallel because that was the emotional, psychological experience that we just went through. And that the only natural result of such of experience would be to praise the Ribono Shel Olam for everything he did. And that brings us to the end of the Halam. And we should, you know, we should end at least with the tefillah of the end of the Asher Galanu. V'nocho shah min hazvachim v'min hapsachim esher yagiyu midamim v'akir mizbechach l'ratzon v'nodelech asher chadash al gulosteinu v'apados nishvenu and, you know, mir tashem baruch atah Hashem ga'al Yisrael. We should all be zocha to have a geula b'mheira v'yameinu.